thank all the musicians and singers and our choir director for leading us in worship up to our message time. How many of you are expecting crowns when you get to heaven? Raise your hand. Everybody should raise your hand. Okay? The interesting thing about crowns, the Bible does tell us that we're going to have crowns and that we are going to be presented them by our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to give them to us. And you ever think of that? That's going to be the largest award ceremony you've ever seen, because it's going to happen when he comes back, not before. So that is promised to us in the Bible, and we are sometimes people refer to it, I had to think of the right word, refer to it as the Bema seat of judgment. Now, that Bema seat comes from when the old ancient Olympics, when the athletes would come and receive their crown. You know what their crown was? It was made out of laurels, flowers, and they would receive that as their prize. And they would go to the judge's stand, which was called the Bema seat. So that is why it's referred to as the Bema seat, because it's the seat of judgment. That's when Christ will judge and give us our reward. So that being said, I gave my question away when I told the title of the sermon. I wasn't thinking when I sent Jan the title of the sermon. I was thinking just heavenly crowns, because I was going to start. How many heavenly crowns are there? Well, how many? Five. I done told to give the secret away. Not secret, because they're in the Bible. Okay? They're not secret. And some people say that there's only three, some people four, some people five. I believe the Bible says and teaches that there's five. And I want to share with y'all those five crowns. These are not in any order. They're just in an order that I want to preach them. Okay? The imperishable or incorruptible or everlasting or victory crown. That's one crown. The crown of rejoicing or exaltation or the crown of the soul winner. That's two. The crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and then the crown of life. Like I said, they're in no order other than what I want to preach them. So let's talk about the imperishable crown, the first one. Take your Bibles. There's going to be six major scriptures in reference to these. And the first one being in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in front of you in the pew. Get it and follow along. I'm reading from the New King James Version. So follow along in whatever version you have. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Now, that imperishable crown, as I stated before, the perishable crown Paul's talking about is those laurel leaves that dry out and crumble and just go away. Well, the imperishable crown, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, it talked about putting up things in heaven, because here on earth, what happens to them? They rust, they mold, moths eat them, whatever, and they are no longer, we can't take them with us. But that imperishable crown is saved for us in heaven. Paul's saying that that crown comes from doing one thing, and that's living faithful. Faithful living in the Christian life. Now, he's not talking about faithful living to another God. He's talking about faithful living to Jesus Christ. And when you accept Christ into your life, we have the perfect example of how to live, and that was Christ. Trying to live like Christ. And Paul saying, when you run that race of life, we should be living at life so that we can be faithful in it. Now, the second crown, by the way, I do a lot of walking and back and forth. Does that bother anybody? Okay. I don't want to bother anybody. Some people like to stand and hold the pulpit like that. I'd rather walk. Especially when I got people way over here and people way over there, because I like to try to preach to everybody. So Paul's saying, live faithfully. But then he says, the second crown, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Now, I've got them marked in my Bible so I can find them real easy. It gives me time to talk while everybody else is looking for them too. So y'all just take your time looking. And when you get there, just look up, and that lets me know that you're ready for me to read the scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, and he says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul's saying, I'm the happiest person when I know that I've just saved another person or helped them be saved. He didn't save them, Christ saved them. They're the happiest when I know that they have accepted the Lord. How many of you have, you don't have to raise your hand, I'll raise mine, but how many of you have ever led someone to the Lord? How happy were you when you led that person to the Lord? Didn't you just feel like dancing? It just happy, happy, happy. And Paul's saying, that is when I'm happy. And it's a joy because I'm going to know that I'm going to see him again. We lost a dear lady in our church this past week, Dallas Giles, and she was 92. She was 92. Been in the church, not our church, but in her church for 46 years. You know, she was a pillar of that church. And she She's going to be there when we get there, and people that we have led to the Lord are going to be there, and we're going to have a happy reunion. Jesus tells us in Revelation that there's not going to be a tear in heaven, not sorrow, but there's going to be joy, and we'll get a crown for winning that person to the Lord. Some people think that you get jewels in your crown. I couldn't find that. But the crowns that you're going to win for leading someone to the Lord. How many crowns do you think Billy Graham's going to get? One. How many crowns are you going to get? Every time that God gives us an opportunity to lead someone to the Christ, we have an opportunity to win that person to Christ. Does the results depend upon us? Shake your head no. Results don't depend upon us. What depends upon us is the telling. When God gives us an opportunity, we are to tell the gospel story. Tell your story, how you became a Christian. Some of us have great stories. Some of us don't have what we think are great stories. But you ever stop to think? When you accepted Christ as a little child, like I did, and lived all your life for Christ, that's a testimony of God's grace and goodness to you. And you don't have to be a bad person to have a great testimony. That's a great testimony of being faithful through the years. So the results are not ours, they're God's results, but we get to have the joy, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of the soul winner in heaven. That's number two. Number three, turn with me to 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. This crown, we cannot win. Listen to what Paul is writing to his young Christian man that he helped see the light. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. What's he talking about? Do you love Jesus? Amen. Amen. If you love Jesus, guess what you get? The crown of righteousness. Because you got to see Jesus. I don't know if you have a picture of Christ in your mind's eye. I do. And probably most of you have something in your life that helps you to see Jesus. Another Christian, a pastor, a picture, an incident, whatever. But what does that do for you? It gives you that love for that person, Jesus Christ. And Paul's talking to his young friend saying, that promise can only come from Jesus Christ. You can't get it on your own. You can't work for it. It comes from the righteous judge. That third crown comes directly to you because it's promised to you, because He said that it was there for those who love the Lord. And one day, when he comes back, everything that we have in our life and everything that we've longed for, we tried to do, won't matter anymore, because Christ will be there and will receive that crown of righteousness that he wants to give us just for loving him. The third crown, The fourth crown, Tim, is the crown of life. James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. And while you're at it, take your finger and hold that place and turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. The crown of life. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And Revelation 2, verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The crown of life is promised for everyone, but there's also a special crown of life for those who persevere. What does it mean to persevere? Well, it means not losing your faith, not giving up on your faith, but also going through trials and tribulations. Some of you know that I was in the military for 14 years, and now everybody knows. Okay. But in the military, being a Christian can be hard. And sometimes you are persecuted because you are a Christian. And especially if you're outspoken about your faith. And the persecution doesn't come by, it comes secondhand by not being included in certain things. But the benefits I found was that people came to you when they needed prayer. Whether they were Christian or not, they came to you and said, Sergeant D, would you pray for us? Would you pray for my mama? Would you? And they knew that they could come to their sergeant and ask for prayer, and he would stop whatever he was doing and pray for him right then. That was one of the things that I was taught by an old pastor friend in my early journey as a Christian. He says, if anybody comes to you and asks prayer, you stop what you're doing and you pray for them right then, because you'll forget what they asked to pray, and then you will, or you'll make a promise, and then you'll forget, and you'll forget to pray, because people are like that. He says, stop and pray for that person and that need right then. Phone call, whatever. Face to face, pray. the crown of life. We don't know what any of these crowns are going to look like, do we? We got our ideas, but the Bible doesn't describe them. But this crown has special meaning for Christians because it is a symbol of what they've gone through, some of the trials and tribulations. The fifth crown, The fifth crown is 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. Peter's writing to the churches that are dispersed into Asia Minor, and a lot of Gentiles are in the church. But he writes to them and says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." The crown of glory that does not fade away. It says the chief shepherd is going to bring it to us and give it to you. Now, most commentaries will tell you that he's talking only to pastors, and that pastors are the ones that will get this crown. That's most commentaries. This commentary, Charles Dameron, believes that when you are called to a position, music director, secretary, clerk, Sunday school teacher, where's the Sunday school teacher? Sunday school teacher, whatever you're called to, and you answer, you are being a shepherd, under shepherd of Christ to those that you have been assigned. Isn't that what Peter just said to the elders that are leaders, take care of the flock that you've been assigned? Yeah. Part of the flock is a Sunday school class, is a nursery class, and you have been assigned to take care of that. And you're going to receive that crown of glory. And it's said in Matthew 25:21 that you're going to hear the ultimate thank you from God. I feel, remember, this is Charles talking, that God's going to say to those that receive this crown of glory, "Well done, my faithful servant." Let me check my notes. Yeah, I left out a word. Jesus said it's going to be, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's the crown of glory. You're going to receive that crown. Don't y'all like to receive thank yous? I do. I love to hear somebody say thank you. And one of the things that Martha and I have started trying to do is to remember to say thank you to our waitresses and waiters, because sometimes they serve you, but you can listen around you. Other people don't say thank you. And by saying thank you to them, I think it makes them feel appreciated better. That's Charles speaking, okay? Now, those five crowns, Christ is going to give them to us one day. How many are you going to get? Do we know? No, we don't really know how many we're going to get. But we can look forward to those, because one day Christ, Jesus Christ, gave up his crown and came to earth, was born, lived, and took on another crown for us, the crown of thorns. And he carried that crown of thorns to the cross of Calvary and died on that cross for our sins. And when he did that, it made it possible for us to receive these crowns. And by us living our life for him and accepting what he did for us, we can receive those crowns. Have you received that crown of life? Because that's what Christ gave us on the cross. That crown of life that comes from us, to us, because we love Christ and what he did for us on the cross. How many are you going to receive? I don't know, you don't know, but we are going to receive them. If you think you will not receive a crown because you don't know Jesus Christ, today is the day that you can accept Christ as your personal Savior and be assured of those crosses, of those crowns in your life. Let us pray. Almighty God, we love you and praise you and thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that he gave his life on the cross for us. Father, if there's anyone here tonight, today, that doesn't know you, we pray, Lord, that they will make that decision and come forward and have someone to explain to them how to accept Christ into their life. And Father, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.